All right, we are in the book of Matthew, and we've been there for a number of weeks, and Matthew is about the king, his kingdom, and his government. And of course, the king is Jesus. And the purpose of the book of Matthew is to prove to a Jewish audience that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the promised deliverer of the Jews. And for the past few weeks in particular, we've been looking at the parables in Matthew 13. And a parable, by definition, is a placing of one thing by the side of another. It's a type of comparison. And in the Bible, parables are stories that illustrate spiritual truths using the natural world and things in the natural. And the illustration causes us to think about that truth differently and then prayerfully act in line with what's been revealed through the truth. So if we link the purpose of the book of Matthew, which is the king, his kingdom, and his government, with the purpose of parables, then we can expect that these stories will cause us to think something about the king or his kingdom that causes us to act in accordance with his government. Okay, so that's the marrying of those two. And our theme for this morning is the treasure of the kingdom. And we're going to look at the illustrations of the hidden treasure and the pearl merchant. So turn to Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. Starting at verse 44 of chapter 13, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field and to get the treasure too. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." I'm going to pray. God, we thank you that you alone are of the greatest worth and value. You are our treasure. God, help us to understand that more this morning and help that truth to be carried with us throughout our lives. God, open our ears, our hearts, our minds. However it is that we engage and interact with you, I pray that we would be open and ready to receive, God. And then not just to receive what you say, but to act upon what you say. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. One of the ways that I prepare to teach is I read a bunch of commentaries. You know, I figure, let's see what people who've already digested all of these scriptures have to say. And through that, I realized that there are two pretty unique interpretations of these parables. And first is the allegorical interpretation. If you remember Justin's teaching from a few weeks ago, he said that in church history, parables have gone through a shift in the method used to interpret them. And in the earlier church, parables were interpreted allegorically. And an allegory is where each portion of the parable is assigned a particular meaning, and then you interpret it based on that. So for the hidden treasure, one allegorical interpretation would be that Jesus is the man, the field is the world, and Israel or the church is the treasure. And using those pieces, the illustration would communicate that Jesus the man discovered the hidden treasure of his church, and he saw the great value of that treasure, and he went and sold all that he had, which for Jesus meant that he gave up his very life on the cross, so that he could buy the entire world in order to take possession of the church, the treasure within it. So that's one interpretation. The illustration of the pearl merchant would be very similar. A man, Jesus, was looking for choice pearls. He was looking for something of value. And Jesus found the church, and he could see that it had the highest value. So it was the pearl of great price. Both that in it was greatly valuable and also that it was very costly. And the price that Jesus paid was his very life in order to purchase the church and take possession of it. And those are examples of allegorical interpretations of those parables. Now, at one point in history, some parables also began to be interpreted using like a straightforward comparison of the overall point. Now, that doesn't include the parables that Jesus explained himself allegorically. Those things stand. But for some of the other stories in the Bible, it's like, well, if we look at the main point and apply it, then it might mean something different. So using this method for the two parables, you could say that in the one, the kingdom of heaven is hidden. It's not obvious. It escapes the notice of some people. In the other parable, you could say, well, some people are searching intently for truth and enlightenment. And both parables, whether we discover the treasure of Jesus and his kingdom by stumbling across it or by searching diligently for it, we still should give everything we have in order to possess it. So the overall point would be that the kingdom of God has the highest worth, and we should give up everything that we have in order to take hold of it. Now, a parable comes alongside of the truth so that as we look at it and listen to it and experience the parable, we more intimately understand and connect with the truth and with God. And how we interact with parables and the scripture in general and God can depend on a lot of things. One thing is our personal story. Each of us has a story. It's made up of everything in our lives, from our family backgrounds, our religious understandings, education, employment, wounds that we've experienced in our past, joys that we have, dreams and vision for the future. Like, that makes up our story. And when we approach scripture, we can't help but have our personal stories be the grid through which the Word of God starts. And for example, if I had a completely uninvolved dad in my life, and God is referred to as Father in scripture, then my grid makes it really easy to think that God is going to be detached and distant. And it might take me a little while to realize, as I continue in God's word and grow in my understanding of who he is, that he's actually a good dad, and he is actively involved in every aspect of my life. The truth of the word does not change based on our experiences. It is true, and it is truth. Yet our stories can color how we interact with God and his word. So we need to have his perspective deposited into the stories of our lives and let that be what guides us. We need to have his truth revealed to us. We need to find the hidden treasure of the truth of God. Now, I've mentioned here before that my late husband Dave passed away 5 years ago. He had a sudden heart attack when we were vacationing in California. And 6 weeks after Dave died, I was back at work, and I was having a meeting with my boss, who is also a very dear friend of mine, and we had to stop and just pray because it was pretty hard to focus at that point, and the pain was pretty intense. And she was praying, and she just said to God, God, what is this thing called grief? The ebbs and the flows of the deep emotion were just crazy. And when she asked that question, I immediately saw in my heart an open geode. If you don't know what geodes are, you're going to learn about it this morning. Well, later, as I researched geodes, God totally used them to speak to me. It was kind of like a parable in that this thing in the natural spoke deeply the spiritual truths of who God is. And God repeatedly reminded me that pain has a purpose and that God can bring beauty through pain. He also reminded me that his presence in the midst of that pain is the most remarkable treasure that we could possibly have. So as I was preparing for this morning, geodes came up again. This time, geodes are a picture that helped me connect with the treasure of God's kingdom. And my prayer is that there will be some other connecting that happens for others of us here as well. So, what in the world is a geode? A geode is an insignificant-looking spear-shaped rock that contains a hollow cavity that is lined with beautiful layers and clusters of mineral crystals. So in a nutshell, it's a hollow rock lined with crystals. Okay? Uncut, they look like your average rock. But cut open, geodes are beautiful and intriguing. Geodes are formed. I'll let you absorb these pictures. Geodes are formed when a cavity is created in the earth and water is trapped inside within the cavity. And there are a couple of main ways that those voids or cavities are formed. One is in volcanic areas where molten lava cools and gas bubbles or steam creates the cavities. You can picture a bubble. You know, if the bubble isn't there any longer, then it leaves a space. In sedimentary environments where sand and mud are deposited in layers and harden into rock, cavities can happen too. Like, for example, when sediments collect around a lifeless animal body and then that body decays, it leaves a void. The crystals within the geode form when there's just the right combination of minerals, water, and time. If mineral-rich water within the geode evaporates slowly, then crystals form. The slower the evaporation, the more extensive and intricate the crystals will be. So the size, shape, and color of the crystals can vary greatly, and no geode is like another geode. They're like fingerprints. No two are the same. And of course, you only know what's in a geode when it's broken open. You can't begin to imagine, standing on the outside, what's inside. Now, I considered, because I've broken open geodes before, I considered like having a real live demonstration, but the geodes are that big. And so even if somebody was sitting on the front row, you wouldn't be able to see anything. But YouTube has videos. So we are going to watch Jim open a geode. Now, there was commentary that went along with that, and it was so funny because when the geode split open, these guys were like, woo, and then, that's neat. So how does a geode help us consider the treasure of the kingdom of heaven? There are four things that I'll cover, and I'm sure just a wealth of other things. But first, with a geode and with the kingdom of heaven, we have to trust that there's something in there that is worth discovering. If we take time to break open a geode, we're trusting that there will be something in there that we want to see. You know, Jim thought there could be something in that rock that would be interesting. Well, with the kingdom, we have to trust, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we have to trust that this God who says that he loves us actually does, and that he lived, died, and rose again so that we could be with him now and forever. Like, he purchased our way into his kingdom with his shed blood. And our belief in Jesus cracks open the treasure of the kingdom of God in our lives. Second, with geodes and with God's kingdom, there are many facets to be discovered. You noticed in the pictures that each geode was different, and some of them just had just a multitude of crystals. And you know, you just could picture if you were standing inside a geode, you would just want to wander through and see everything about it. Well, we can hold a geode in our hands, and we can turn it, and we can look at the crystals. We can't do that with God's kingdom. We can't control it. We can't manipulate it. But we can consider it and reflect on its beauty and on God's majesty. We can be blown away by who God is. And we can follow Jesus and live the way that he instructs us to, which will bring him more glory and bring us to a place of more wonder of him and his kingdom. And of course, the fullness of the kingdom of heaven can only be experienced when we are actually in heaven with God. But he gives us pictures, and he tells us what it's like, and he gives us experiences that help us to know his kingdom as we walk on this earth. Well, third, geodes and the kingdom each hold uniquenesses. Every geode is different. Now, don't get me wrong, the kingdom of God is one kingdom with one God. But the kingdom is demonstrated and revealed in each of our lives differently. We each have our own story. We each interact with God individually and differently. And so we can each experience him and his kingdom uniquely. And God and his truth will be the same for each one of us, but it will be manifested differently. Well, fourth, the kingdom and geodes both have order and design. Geodes crystals are formed in really systematic ways, you know, based on minerals and water and time. And if you ever really want to know how geodes are formed, you need to talk to Todd, my husband, who's a science teacher, but because I was fascinated by some details that he gave me. Well, God's kingdom follows order as well. Part of that order is demonstrated in John 14:6 when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way that we can have a relationship with our Father God, by following the order of first coming to Jesus and then through him having an entry into that relationship in the kingdom. And lest we think that we could do it ourselves, which Justin and I are kind of on the same page this morning with this, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 reminds us, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. You know, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven on any of our good works, on any of our planning. We can't say, "Well, God, you have order, and so I'm going to follow your order." His order is that his son paid the price for us to enter the kingdom. Well, order and design implies structure, and structure can seem maybe a little predictable and to some of us a little boring. Well, the kingdom of God also has mystery and inspires awe in us. God is so far beyond our comprehension. We get snippets of understanding here and there, and it blows us away. I can't imagine if we could actually understand the entire kingdom and all of God. I mean, we would be God if we could, but it just would be so huge and way too much. You know, and ways that that gets illustrated is, have you ever walked through a really hard time and experienced maybe a phone call from a friend at just the moment that you thought you couldn't bear anymore? And you hang up the phone and say, "Wow, like, God, thanks." Or, you know, Isaiah 45:3, in it, God says, "I will give you the treasures hidden in the darkness, the secret riches. I will do this so that you may know that I am God. I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name." When I walked through Dave's death, God brought that scripture to me. And it was that same experience of, you know, God, in the midst of pain, there's actually something that I can rejoice in. There's actually goodness in that. Like, that's very mysterious to me. How can it possibly be that that is true? Yet it is, because that's part of who God is and it's part of his kingdom. Now, on the flip side of that, have you ever marveled when pieces of your life have so come together that you just know it can't possibly be coincidence? It just has to be that there's a God who is putting all of his puzzle pieces in place and having a blast doing it. That's how I feel about my relationship and marriage with Todd. So I feel like I've experienced both the treasures of darkness and the treasures of goodness that actually is good, feels good. Well, geodes, to just recap the 4 points, they help us consider the treasure of the kingdom of heaven when we trust that there is something in there that is worth discovering. When we discover and reflect on its many facets. When we allow the kingdom to be demonstrated and revealed in each of our lives uniquely. And as we embrace both the order and the mystery of our God. Let's go back and read the 2 parables again. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field and to get the treasure too. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. For us, the parables can reveal portions of the king and his kingdom that encourage us to act in accordance with his government. And right now, we are going to have a meditation time, a reflection time, with some verses and music. So if the DJ and your team can come up. During this time, I would encourage you to interact with God. Talk to him. Listen to him. If he's already, if you've already kind of are in a conversation with him right now, continue the conversation. I have some geodes up on the table up here. If you're interested during this reflection time, you can feel free to walk up and look at them, see them a little bit closer. Just remember, as we have this reflection time, that God is our treasure. The treasure of the church is the gospel of the glory and grace of Jesus. The truth of God's word does not change based on our experiences. His word is true, and it is truth. And we need to receive the richness of his perspective as he deposits that into our lives. Use this time to receive some of the richness of his perspective as he deposits it into your story. Father, may we have a posture of receiving and listening, and may it be about you and not us. May we receive so that we can ultimately give back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.